Heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Haters podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, you still sitting there?
Yeah, I didn't leave.
All right, good. We're going to jump right into it. Today's show is actually brought to you by bombfell.com, bombfell.com/LLLakers is where you're going to go to get $25 off of your first purchase there. More on that in a bit. The way today's show is going to break down is, first, we're going to talk about the Lakers power forward situation. We're going to take a quick break to talk about Bombfell, who is amazing. On the other side of that break, we are going to talk about a little bit about Brandon Ingram. I want to set the record straight on some of the stuff that apparently people think I hate the kid when, you know, I really don't. And then finally, we're going to talk about the backup point guard situation. And throw in some quotes from Luke Walton on that and talk about who we think should get some of those minutes there. So without further ado, make sure you're following the show on Audioboom, iTunes, TuneIn, Today's Fast Break, Stitcher, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. We are working right now to get the show off of Audio Boom and onto Megaphone. More on that in the coming days. Again, bombfell.com/LLLakers. Harrison, you have a take that you didn't tweet because you've learned from me and you've decided that mentions aren't worth it. You have a take that's kind of sort of hot.
Yeah, no, Twitter is garbage and so is my life. But I did want to talk about the power forward stuff tonight, where Luke Walton, he was talking after the game. The Lakers lost tonight to the Utah Jazz as we're recording this, 105-99, in case we are the first ones to break that news to you. Luke Walton, after the game, he said he hasn't made up his mind about whether or not Nance or Randall will start at power forward this season. And then he also said, here's a direct quote from him via Tanya Ganguly of the Los Angeles Times: Kuzma has forced his way into the idea that we're going to find minutes for him. We're going to find ways to keep him on the court. And Anthony, I don't want to overreact to a couple of preseason games, but if the Lakers do not start Kyle Kuzma on opening night, everyone should be fired. Like, Luke should be fired. Magic should be fired. They should, like, knock his statue down outside of the arena. Rob Pelinka should have to, you know, come up with some biblical analogy to explain his exodus from Staples Center. And, like, no one should be allowed back. Like, just burn the franchise to the ground. Like, Kuzma needs to start at power forward on opening night. They look so much better when he is out there. It's just, like, it was really sad. This was, like, the first preseason game that I've really gotten to just watch start to finish, no distractions. And they just look so much better when he is out there. Even when he's not, like, this was probably his worst preseason game, honestly, at least shooting and efficiency-wise and stuff. But just his shooting, the way that he can space the floor, it wasn't his best night, but they just still look so much better with him out there than they do with any other power forward. And I just don't, like, I don't think that there's a basketball argument to be made for why he wouldn't start at this point. Like, there are locker room and dynamic arguments and ego dynamic arguments and contract dynamic arguments to be made, but there's not a basketball one. Like, Kyle Kuzma is the Lakers' best option at power forward right now.
That was a lot, dude. I thought we should have warned everybody with the Harrison's hot take sound before we went.
No, this one, I believe, Harrison's hot takes are parody. Like, this one, like, I'm kind of being a little bit, like, I'm using a little bit of hyperbole, but I pretty much believe that.
Are you using hyperbole on what part of that? That magic statue should get knocked down? Was that?
Yeah, like I don't like if they don't start Kyle Kuzma, I'm not actually advocating riots. I'm saying like figurative riots. Like tweet at the Lakers that you want to knock the statue down because Kyle Kuzma's not starting.
They should like what could they do to Magic Johnson's statue that would make sense here? That like if they didn't start him, should they put like a Celtics jersey on him?
Like put a D'Angelo Russell jersey on him. That, I think that would be the greatest insult that you could deliver to Magic Johnson.
Unbelievable.
And build a Mozgov statue next to it.
Amazing. All right. I gotta contain myself here. I gotta control myself. I kind of agree with you. I agree with you.
Okay, explain to me why you're kind of wrong.
All right. I kind of agree with you to the extent that from the guys who we've seen play that position so far this preseason, Kyle Kuzma has looked by far consistently the best. Right?
Yeah, I'm waiting for the but.
That's where I would agree with you. But where I would kind of disagree is that and this was kind of the annoyance that I got tonight upon finding out that Larry Nance Jr. was going to start alongside Brooke Lopez, was that especially on a night where Lonzo Ball isn't playing, why not have Julius Randle out there alongside Brooke Lopez? Lopez, part of the appeal to bringing the guy in was that he would kind of unlock parts of Julius Randle's game because of the spacing that he provides, right? And then by
the starting Nance thing did not make sense to me at all either tonight. No, like the way that he's played, like he actually probably had his best game of the preseason tonight, but still, I just like why I don't understand why they wouldn't have given Randle that look.
I don't get it, especially considering when you know outside of Kuzma, I would probably say Randle has been the best Laker all preseason, so it's not like you're it'd be one thing if Randle was bad and you were kind of trying to send a message or something like that. I didn't understand the motive behind it, if there was one. Hey, at what point do we start kind of wondering about Luke as a coach?
I don't think we're there yet. This is still such a young team.
I don't think so either. But like at what point do we start kind of like, you know, kind of what's the first red flag that goes up? The first time he says man up?
Maybe. I mean, I'm looking like I don't really particularly have a problem with like the man up stuff. It's if man up is your only strategy.
Yeah.
Like I mean, yes, it's a little bit sexist and whatever. Like it's problematic for certain reasons, but if him using like the phrase man up is just a way to get his team like fired up, then that's fine. But if his strategy is man up, which seemed to be the case with the Lakers last coach, then that would be the worry with that.
Yeah. All right, so let's continue this conversation on the other side of the break. I do think this is worth opening up a little bit about and kind of figuring out how to handle this if this is the move to make. Because, look, we keep waiting, like we talked about last show, we keep waiting for that day where you kind of have that humble pie that gets served up to Kyle Kuzma. But he had that spin move going around Thabo Sefolosha.
He had a couple rough moments tonight. Teams are starting to like look at his stuff, and he definitely like he was not perfect. We're starting to hit the point where teams are like they've seen him play now.
But even while that's going on, he's still finding ways to impact the game, which is what we were kind of looking for, right? And
yeah,
we'll talk about it on the other side of the break. Before we get to that, though, I want to talk to everybody about Bombfell.com. Harrison, do you hate going shopping?
There's honestly almost nothing that I hate more. This is not a bit, like, that's my honest answer to this question.
I can't lie. So we got notified by Bombfell that they were interested in talking to us about the show, and literally the day before, no, like a week before, I was talking to Jen and I was like, I've reached that point in my life where I'm old enough that I don't understand what to buy to even like make it look like I'm trying to keep up with current styles. And the great thing about Bombfell is it's an easier way for men to get clothes. It's completely personalized. Every piece has been handpicked for you by your own stylist. These guys are paid to keep up with the current styles that make sense for people as they fill out the questionnaires that you're sent. Your stylist will email you with their selections. You have 48 hours to make changes or completely cancel altogether. It's completely on you. Then when you receive those clothes, you have 7 days to tell us what you want to keep based on size, look, whatever. You could send the rest back. It's completely flexible. You can receive clothes when you want, and you can pause or cancel at any time. You interested still?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like I don't think you understand. I am someone who will literally like beg people to go and buy clothes for me so that I don't have to.
All right, so if you're interested, if you're interested in signing up, you're going to tell us about yourself, tell them about yourself, your measurements, style preferences, budget limits, and all of that. You're going to set up your order, tell them what you want, your next order, you know, two buttons down, a pair of jeans, maybe an overcoat or a sweater. You get a preview email that they let you know what you're going to be getting and how it's going to look, how it might feel, what styles and brands you're going to be getting. You're going to receive those clothes, and like I said earlier, you have 7 days to try those clothes on and send them back if you don't like the look or feel of any of it. Are you still interested?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that this could sound better.
All right, so if you're still interested, and those of you who are still listening out there to this, I'm telling you this is an incredible offer. We negotiated with Bombfell to get you guys $25 off of your first purchase. You're going to visit bombfell.com/LOLakers. Again, bombfell.com/LOLakers. Spelled out, bombfell.com/LOLakers to get $25 off of your first purchase. Again, bombfell.com/LOLakers. It's really cool. They sent me clothes that they made me look good. Jen was impressed, and if Jen can be impressed by how I look 5 years into marriage and 13 years into our relationship, they're doing their thing. So again, that's
you didn't need to add those last qualifiers.
Well, you know, it's pretty impressive. bombfell.com/LOLakers. All right, so let's talk about this this power forward stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers need to figure out what their size is at power forward and, like, what the right fit that's going to make them look best is. And I just don't, like, you know, with the help, I have not talked to a Bombfell stylist about this, but I feel like that's probably Kyle Kuzma that's going to make them look the flyest. And it's going to, like, be loud.
So the concern with the Lakers trying to go small is the same one that Pete raised on the show and that you and I have reiterated over the last couple of days, is that, look, the purpose of going small is to either be able to switch on the perimeter and pressure like crazy and you know, play that amoeba defense that the Miami Heat played with insane efficiency, or on offense, be able to spread the floor enough so that defenses have no choice but to go out and challenge shooters and therefore open up lanes to the basket. And for the vast majority of the last 4 or 5 years, when the Lakers have tried to gone slow, their lineups have done none of those two things, right? And the one thing that Kyle Kuzma presents is the ability to at least spread the floor on offense, because like we're already seeing it. Teams are already giving Kyle Kuzma way less space to shoot than they did in the beginning of the preseason, let alone when we first saw him play in Vegas, right?
So yeah, I mean, you have to guard 6'9" Klay Thompson.
It's wild how much he kind of sort of looks like him on the court. It's kind of – even like shooting form-wise, it's pretty crazy.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. So what I guess – by that, if that's the basis of your analysis, I would probably agree that he needs to start and play as many minutes as he possibly can at the four, because if you're trying to play small, you need to accomplish one of those things, and he can take care of that for you. Whereas, like,
yeah, and
Randall
if the Lakers,
doesn't. Yeah, Nance and doesn't. Go ahead.
No, exactly. With Nance and Randall, the benefit of Lopez is that he clears the floor for them to some degree. Like, with Nance, that's less of it. With Randall, that's more of it. But in a starting lineup with Lonzo Ball, where they're kind of minimizing Randall's impact anyway, as a ball handler at least, then wouldn't Kyle Kuzma fit best? And then you have like four shooters and Brandon Ingram kind of spreading the floor, and like I just think that that would look a lot better, and that would be a lot more effective than trying to cater to what fits Randall best. And sure, that would be best for him going into a contract year, but my thought on this has started to change a lot, and I think that just having that type of versatile, almost five out lineup is probably going to be what helps Lonzo the most, and we're going to continue to see growth from Kuzma, and like the Lakers as a whole will look better, I think, with that lineup.
Yeah, I would agree. And look,
if Lonzo ever plays again, I mean, at this point, like.
By the way, like people who are in my mentions and people who I see on Twitter kind of tweeting out about like, oh, are the, you know, is Lonzo ever going to be okay, or should, is there, at what point do you start worrying about the dude's ankles? Like, let's actually see him miss an NBA game.
I was going to say, like, it's after the preseason.
Yeah, like.
You start to worry.
If he misses opening night with what was called a mild ankle sprain 13 days ago, then fine.
Then we need to question what a mild, like whether or not they know what a mild ankle sprain means.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, his foot's hanging off. Mild ankle sprain.
Although Beckham Jr.'s out there like, oh, that's perfectly mild. But I would say, though, that the job of a coach is to put their players or his players or their players in the absolute best place to succeed at any given time on the court, right? And if you're playing Lonzo Ball, who needs as much space as he can have to throw the passes that he needs to be able to throw to have the impact on the game that he is able to have on the game, well, then you put your best shooters around him.
And it's not just to have room to make those passes, to have guys that are worth making those passes,
yeah,
too.
That's
and it. Yeah, and Kuzma will immediately rise on fire when he gets one of those passes. Lopez can make threes. Brandon Ingram will shoot threes. And KCP can, like, kind of sometimes make threes.
Wait, you reverse that. Reverse it. KCP can make threes. Brandon Ingram.
No. I said Brandon Ingram can shoot threes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I did not specify that he will make them.
Okay, that's all right. I misheard you. So, yeah, I would. And look, Ingram's spot in the lineup, it's becoming less and less guaranteed by the. Look, he looked good in the first half. I would completely agree. The issue.
Yeah,
this
was probably the best he's looked so far in a preseason game. And that's kind of a problem when the best he's looked is 5 of 12 for 13 points and a team high negative 17. Or I guess you would say team low.
Well, and the issue that I've had with Brandon Ingram, and the issue that a lot of people have had with Brandon Ingram, is that he. What's being asked of him to be successful does not fit his game. So asking him to be a volume scorer, like he'll be a volume shooter, he'll be a volume attacker of the rim, but he definitely isn't going to be a volume scorer, not at this point in his life and or career. And I guess a lot of people are angry at me on my mentions or on Twitter or whatever.
People are mad at you on Twitter?
This is wild, right? This is crazy. A lot of people are angry
at
me.
That never happens.
A lot of people are angry at me because they think I quote unquote hate Brandon Ingram. But really, it comes down to, from what I've seen, the role that they're asking him to play makes zero sense. And the expectations that people have of him as the second overall pick makes zero sense, because to this point, he hasn't earned the expectations that come along with being the second overall pick, aside from having been the second overall pick.
I got to stop you there. I don't know if you've noticed, but he has really long arms and he works hard. Okay.
He says the right things, and he doesn't Snapchat
other teammates. I just
want
to point this out to you because I don't think that people have noted it enough. He has very long arms, and he works hard, and he's young.
Yeah, he, you know, well.
Very original point nobody else has made.
I tweeted this out earlier. No, it's hard for me to even talk about this stuff because, honestly, like, I've had multiple people tell me to kill myself about my on my stance about Brandon Ingram. Multiple. There are more.
It's almost like you inspire a lot of vitriol online.
Yeah, there are more. There is more than one person out there who thinks that me saying that I don't think Brandon Ingram is as good at basketball as people may have thought or hope he is.
Well, no, it's not even that. It's that you're saying that this play, it's any player that plays for the Lakers that they want to believe is amazing is maybe is not yet.
Yeah, but there are more than one person out there.
Just being a fan. I mean, telling you to kill yourself is not being a fan. But, yeah. Like, being angry that you are insulting their player is just – that's being a fan. That happens.
And, look, I wish, if you – the people who were telling me this, like, the people who were telling me to kill myself, I'm asking you this honestly. I'm talking to you. I wish I didn't block you.
I'm sure you're going to give us a reasoned answer.
Yeah, but, like – The thing that I want to ask those of you who are throwing this at me either in emails or in ads or whatever, but the thing I want to ask you is that, like, if I was inspiring you to tell me to kill myself, and if you're honestly hoping
on Mental Health Awareness Day, no less.
Yeah, if you're honestly hoping that I kill myself, if you're telling me that I could, if I felt differently about a basketball player. And you would stop. You would cease to hope that I would walk into my kitchen, grab a knife, and take care of business.
Okay.
I'm honestly asking this. If you think that that's an honest thing that you want me to do, and that people would continue to hope that I would do that to myself. Over a basketball player, don't you think I would hope to have a different opinion on that basketball player?
I think you're speaking to a very vocal, very small minority.
No,
right,
but
now.
I think it's a stupid minority that, like, shouldn't do that stuff. And
I think we can all be in universal agreement on that.
So I guess the thing with Ingram is that I hope I'm wrong. I hope that the things that I've seen so far from Brandon Ingram are not the things that I continue to see moving forward, because at the end of the day, I love the Lakers. At the end of the day, I love not being told to kill myself. At the end of the day, this is all basketball, and the more good basketball players that the team that I root for has, the better off this team looks to be. I haven't seen Ingram show the things that he needs to show to make me feel better about the direction his career is going and the direction that the Lakers are forcing his career to go in. And the latter point is a point that needs to be talked about more, but isn't, because they're pigeonholing him for a role that he really is not ready for. He probably won't be ready for 3-4 years.
I kind of disagree on that last part. I think they're starting to walk back the volume scorer stuff. I mean, we've seen Luke in the media talk about that, you know, Ingram needs to start letting the game come to him a little bit more. He needs to not, like, hijack the offense and try and show everybody immediately what he's worked on and that he's got a lot of time to do that. So I think we're seeing that public pressure, like a very transparent attempt for it to be eased.
Yeah, and look, it's good that they're realizing this now. They should never have put those expectations on him in the first place, given NBA precedent and what we saw from him last year. But it's good that they're walking that back now. It's just, you know, at some point we need to see more from a kid or start reevaluating expectations in terms of role, which include minutes on this very Lakers team moving forward until he gives us a reason to do otherwise.
Yeah, I would agree. He has not been good so far during the preseason. I don't think that's that controversial to say.
Yeah, well, you would think. All right, so the last bit here that we need to talk about is the backup point guard position. Tyler Ennis has gotten the bulk of the minutes. Alex Caruso played really well in Las Vegas and then played extremely well last night, by the time everybody's listening to this. Harrison, if you had to choose one direction or the other, which direction would you go?
I would actually go with Caruso, I think. I like his passing a little bit more than I like Ennis's. Ennis, Walton said that Ennis right now remains the backup point guard after tonight's game. But honestly, like, I think that should probably start to change soon, too. Caruso has looked overall better to me when he's gotten minutes this preseason. And I think the two-way deal right now is working against him a little bit, whereas Ennis has the fully guaranteed contract. But I would not be surprised if Caruso's contract ends up getting converted to a full contract by the end of the season. He's been good enough during preseason that I actually would kind of like to see the Lakers maybe go with him as the backup.
The thing I like when I watch Alex Caruso play is how simple he makes the game for himself.
He's almost like a very, very poor, broke, bankrupt man's Lonzo Ball. Those hit-ahead passes, and the way that he tries to play that similar style. Now, he's never going to be as good at it as Lonzo, already one of the top passers in NBA history, but he's pretty good, and like, he's okay at it, and he at least tries to mimic that, and I think that that's like, I mean, maybe as teams start to scout him a little bit more, maybe they'll find some problems with that, and maybe they'll start picking them off more, but for now, he's been good enough at it that I kind of like the continuity there.
I do as well. And the other thing, too, that I would say about Tyler Ennis, and it's nothing to necessarily knock Tyler Ennis, is that...
And his t-shirt.
We kind of sort of know what Ennis is already, right? I haven't looked it up, but I would imagine Caruso is probably pretty close in age to Ennis at this stage in his life. But at the end of the day, like, in terms of... We've seen Ennis last year. We saw the best of Ennis, I would probably say. And the best of Ennis is probably still not quite good enough.
They're literally both 23.
Yeah. It's a good guess by me.
Ennis is a little bit younger, actually.
Yeah, that probably sounds about right. But in terms of Caruso with this team is the difference here. And Caruso, to me... like you said, I think is more capable of maintaining that continuity and pace that Luke Walton and his coaching staff is probably looking for when they go to the bench. Because, again, the Lakers aren't going to be very good this year. But can they play fast enough to be entertaining?
They're already playing, actually. Kranjus McBasketball had a really good post up at Forum Blue and Gold on how their pace is basically unprecedented, and it'll probably drop some once the regular season comes around because teams generally play a little bit faster during the preseason. But their pace is kind of insane. And, you know, like, I'm rolling with Big Balder Brand off the bench behind behind Lonzo. So...
From one bald guy to another, Big Balder Brand.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, I really, with my hairline, should not be making comments, but I'm also older than him, so.
No, I would probably agree with you that, and look, it, you know, maybe Ennis can compete with him throughout the year, and really that's probably what's best for the Lakers anyway. By the way, did you see the Briante Weber tweet that he just sent out?
No, I did not. What just happened? This is live breaking news.
Briante Weber. It was tonight at 10:56 p.m., October 10th, 2017. Briante Weber, DNP, in all caps, !! Stay ten toes down by any means necessary. New beginning. Hashtag new beginning. Hashtag
believe, like as in his name, but believe.
Oh my okay. God. Whew.
That is wow. All
right, so I'm willing
we're going to find out that he has some fake KD accounts too.
I'm willing to report that he's been cut already.
That's probably not a bad guess.
I'm willing to
breaking news on Locked On Lakers.
Exclusively report that Briante Weber is no longer a Los Angeles Laker by the time.
I don't think that it's an exclusive to report an exclusive report that he will no longer be a Los Angeles Laker by the end of the preseason. But we can get into that more when we break down who the final roster will be on Friday.
Yeah. All right. So that's something to keep an eye out for. But I would agree, though, Harrison, that Big Balder Brand should run free.
Big Balding Brand?
Big Balding Big Balder Brand.
Big Balder? Okay, you want to? Yeah, the first one was the right one. All right.
He's definitely balder than Lonzo, right? So.
That's true. Yeah, I'm actually looking at an AP photo, and you know, my hair's gonna start to do that soon too. So.
Poor dude. Just let it go. Let it go, dude. All right, that does it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Today is brought to you by Bombfell.com. Again, that's Bombfell.com/LOLakers to get $25 off of your first purchase.
Even you, Alex Caruso, can look fly with Bombfell.com.
Yeah, yeah. Get yourself.
If they can help Anthony, they can help anyone.
Get yourself in some nice Bombfell clothes. Comb all that hair forward, and you're going to be
good. Okay. I'm sorry, Alex Caruso, you seem like a very nice guy. If for whatever reason, like God knows what reason you listen to this, you seem like a very nice guy, and I'm sorry, that was very mean. I will roast my own appearance more than like anyone else can, so.
All right, have a good one, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Yes. We'll be right back.